Today, Pastor Ray Bentley brings us an in-depth study of Revelation, written by John, an apostle who walked with Jesus.
Have you ever wished that you could just, you know, time travel and go back and spend a week following Jesus around? Anybody, you want to do that? Anybody up for that? And then to see Jesus, one of the things that we get the impression is that once someone saw the eyes of Jesus, they were never the same again.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Bible scholars speculate that Jesus wasn't overwhelmingly attractive. He didn't have movie star good looks. But he obviously had a certain magnetism that drew people to him. When he spoke, they listened. And today, as we continue our studies in Revelation, we'll consider the Lord's voice and eyes and feet.
Okay, Revelation chapter 1. We're going through the description of Jesus, and I'm taking my time. I'm not rushing. There's so much in here. Okay, he says, then I turned, I want to go back to verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, John says. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. We saw that that is the menorah. It's the only source of light in the temple. And we find out later in verse 20, the seven-branched candlestick represents the churches. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Oh, that's a glorious phrase. That's about the Messiah. The Messiah is Christ, Jesus. And his phrase that is given to him in the Old Testament is the Son of Man. God gave his best. God sent his best. He sent his Son. And by the way, when Jesus became a human being in Bethlehem, for the first time, he was eternally in the heavens, the eternal Son, no beginning of days. But when he was born in flesh and blood and bone there in Bethlehem, he didn't just become a man for 33 years. Jesus became the Son of Man and a man for all time and all eternity, so that he might be our eternal high priest, our eternal Savior, our eternal Lord. He's not only the Son of Man, he's also the Son of God. He's fully man, fully God. All the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And then he notices he's clothed with a garment down to the feet and girt about the chest with a golden band. So we talked about the clothing of a high priest, the clothing, the robe that goes down to the feet of a king. Verse 14, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And I mentioned to you his hair. What is this? You know, it speaks of his purity, his eternal quality. And I quoted Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, where God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. But now he goes on and he says, so we pick up now where we left off. And John says, the next thing he notices, his eyes were like a flame of fire. Now, John uses many scriptures from the Old Testament and the book of Revelation. There are over 500 references from the Old Testament, believe it or not, in the book of Revelation. Well, one of the books on John's mind was no doubt the book of Daniel. And there is a time where it seems that the prophet Daniel maybe had a vision that sounds very much like Jesus. Many Bible commentators believe that what Daniel saw was an appearance of Christ or a heavenly vision of Christ. So read with me Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6 in your notes. Let's read that out loud. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Who does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound a lot like Jesus? But notice his eyes, Daniel says, were like torches of fire. When you read the Gospels, and think about, oh, You realize in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. There was nothing outwardly that would, you know, he could blend into the crowd, the Jewish crowd 2,000 years ago, until all of a sudden he said something or did something, or heaven flowed through his fingertips, or if his eyes. Do you know how many times when you read the Gospels it says, and Jesus beheld them? Jesus beheld him. Jesus beheld her. Whatever the story was, his eyes fasten in and lock in on that person. Now, they don't know. They've heard, oh, maybe he's Jeremiah, maybe he's Elijah, he's a prophet. Some say he's the Messiah. They don't know, and they don't even have the full recognition. But here is God, manifest in the flesh, who's now in a human body looking at them. And again, we have the image of Jesus' eyes sweeping a crowd in a circle of people, and all of a sudden, flashes of love would pour through his eyes as he fastened himself on some poor soul. Or love and compassion, empathy, sympathy, tenderness that Jesus had that would flash through his eyes. At other times, there would be sorrow. I mean, think of this. Here's this man who has existed for eternity, who has been through the entire human history. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And now his eyes behold some sad scene, and the sorrow that could be in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. The sorrow, do you imagine, you have sorrow, we have sorrow, we all have sorrow in this painful, broken world. What do you think as the Lord looks down at the sorrow of the world, what it shows and reflects within his eyes? He could also flash with his eyes in anger and take the money changers' tables and flip them upside down as he did in the temple, all expressed through his eyes, the impact of Jesus' eyes. There are a host of other biblical images that would come into our minds, that come together in the fire, flaming torches of the eyes of Jesus. We have the pillar of fire. It was in the Old Testament. That was a picture that's reflected in the eyes of Jesus. The burning bush that Moses saw, and yet the bush wasn't consumed, was a supernatural fire represented by the eyes of Christ. All the altars that were built, like Elijah, who up on Mount Carmel built the altar where fire fell from heaven, the eyes of the eternal, resurrected, glorified Son of God. So what about fire? What does that mean, his eyes? I want you to know this, too, just to remind you that Jesus and his eyes are here this morning. Jesus sees you. But notice this, if you want to put this in your notes, fire, which his eyes are like torches, flaming fire, fire both penetrates. In other words, it goes deep inside. And secondly, whatever it touches, it transforms. Fire both penetrates and transforms. Whatever fire touches, it cannot leave that the same. When you invited Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, believe it or not, in a spiritual, supernatural, and a reality, you invited fire, holy fire, to come inside of you. And the Holy Spirit gets inside of us, and when he gets inside of us, he begins changing us. He burns the impurities. He burns the things of self. He burns the pride. He burns the lust. He burns the flesh. He burns the temptations of the devil. He burns all of that and is burning in us. The gaze of Jesus purifies us. It penetrates us. I like to say he doesn't so much look at us as much as he looks into us. He's looking into you. He's looking into me. We are therefore not something that Jesus merely looks at. We are invaded by him. Jesus beholds you this morning. He is looking at you. He loves you. So now verse 15, let's look at this. He goes on from his eyes as a flame of fire, and he says, and his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His feet like bronze, glowing in a furnace. It's been a while since I've told you guys, but I started pastoring when I was 20, so I didn't have a long career before that. But for a couple of years or a year and a half or so, the one job I had before I became a pastor was I was a jeweler's apprentice. And I was, you know, the first rung on the ladder where you're making the little wax rings, which is how they prepared for the other rings. But I always wanted to be this guy that I looked up to. His name was Michael, and he was like, you know, this professor kind of a guy. He was I loved jewelry and the idea of gold and silver and all the stones, precious stones, semi-precious stones. It all is just dazzlingly beautiful to me. But the thing I loved the most was when he had that little black pot, and he would say, "Ray, come over, watch this." He goes, this is the coolest part of my job. And he would put the gold bullion inside the little pot, and then it goes inside of the kiln, and you would feel this heat that would just, you know, flame out of the thing, and you kind of stand back, burns your eyebrows a little bit. Finally, it would come out, the arm would come out, and he goes, "Now, I want you to look at that. You are now going to look at something that is the most beautiful thing to behold with your eyes." And I said, what do you mean? He goes, "Gold that is so hot, it's liquid. It's a little sea of gold." If you've ever seen gold, liquid gold, it's like a sea, it moves, and the fire that's in it, and the shimmer and the shine that comes from it, whoo, beautiful, beautiful. Before it gets poured into the molds, makes the rings and all the other jewelry.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so glad to hear when people find this daily study unexpectedly. And it's even greater news when they keep listening and get blessed from these studies in God's Word.
Dear Ray, I've come to realize that our finding Maranatha Radio was not an accident at all, but an intentional blessing sent by God. We've been regular listeners now for over a year. I also find your daily devotional writings always a timely blessing to myself and those I'm led to share them with. My husband and I thank God for your commitment to Him that touches so many in contributing to His kingdom building. Also, thank you for your book, The Holy Land Key, which is truly amazing. It opened my eyes to the biblical confirmation of God's truth throughout history. My husband was inspired by my talking about it so much that he recently purchased the audiobook and is listening to it as he travels. God bless you, Pastor Ray. Never stop preaching, for it's obvious you're anointed by God to do so.
It's a joy to hear how listeners enjoy these daily studies in the Word of God. How have Pastor Ray's studies impacted your life and that of your family? Write him and let him know, would you? Write ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So the eyes of the Lord are fiery, glorious, burning in a furnace. Now we look at His feet, and His feet also are like burning bronze that is glowing in a furnace. But in the book of Daniel, back in chapter 2, the ancient king of Iraq, Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, has a dream. And all of a sudden, you know, obviously it's Old Testament, this is all in Hebrew, right? The book of Daniel. You get to chapter 2, verse 4, dream from God to a pagan, idol-worshiping, Gentile king named Nebuchadnezzar. It switches languages from Hebrew to Aramaic. God speaks this king's language. And he shows him this image, this gigantic image. And don't think of an image just of a man or even of some big statue. I'm talking in a dream world. It was the image of a man that literally his head is up in the heavens and his body and his feet down here upon the earth. It was a head of gold, which he finds out that's representing the Babylonian Empire. It's basically the timeline of man governing himself. From head, it starts with a head of gold and it goes down to the feet. Starts with a head of gold, Babylon, and then the torso of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire, the belly of thighs of bronze, the Grecian Empire, legs, two legs of iron, east and west. But then down in the 10 toes, in the end of days, there are 10 toes. And in the dream, he notices that it's flawed. It's partly iron, the toes, and partly clay. Now, if you know anything, one of the interesting things about this dream is, what is the heaviest, literally, of the metals is the gold up at the top. So this whole image of man governing himself is what you would call top heavy. And you got clay at the base. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize this thing is going to come crashing down. And that's exactly what happens. At the end of the dream, a rock unhewn with human hands strikes the image, not at the head or the chest or the legs, but in the 10 toes. which is showing the timeline. Starts with the head, the end of days is the 10 toes. Fragments of that ancient Roman Empire, and where there is clay, the whole thing comes crashing down, then the wind blows the debris away, and the rock grows into a mountain for the kingdom of God filling the whole earth. Now the reason and the point that I want to tell you that story is that the image of man seeking to govern himself comes crashing down because its base is flimsy. Its flimsy base dooms it to destruction. Look at what's happening now. Nation after nation, change after change, revolution after revolution, faulty foundations crashing down. In contrast to that, John now has an image of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, and with an eternally strong foundation at his feet, which means when the kingdom of God comes, it will never fall down. You can rest assured, it will never fall apart. It will never crumble. It doesn't have a flimsy foundation. It has, the Messiah's kingdom is set on a base that is as strong as its being is glorious. The bronze base is firm. All right, verse 15, we close with this. Last little thought. John said, I heard then his voice. His voice as the sound of many waters. Hearing the voice of God. The Bible begins with God speaking. Speaking creation into existence. I love this now. And the very first thing God created was what? Light. In the Hebrew, you know what he said? Because God just speaks and it happens. He doesn't have to mix things up and throw bones over his shoulder and make incantation. He just speaks and it is. So this is what he did with light. He said, light be. And light was. That's how it says it in the Hebrew. Boom, 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 boom. Light be, light was. He opened his mouth and light came shooting out of his mouth at 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. Which is amazing. He spoke all of that into existence. And then finally, God spoke a message. Man, I love you. And his message of love, because he's God. When he speaks, he creates. His message, man, I love you, turned into the flesh, blood, and bone, person of Jesus, the Messiah, the living word of God. And the proof, when he died on the cross for you, was buried and rose from the dead, that God loves you. And that whoever will believe in him and trust in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is that living word of God. But I think it's very interesting here that there's so much more to a word than can be found in a dictionary. With the tone of voice, the resonance, the inflection, it can change everything in the meaning. What I find interesting here, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, even before John tells us what Jesus said with his voice, the first thing he wanted to tell us about was what his voice sounded like. It sounded like rushing mighty waters. At the same time, and I leave you with this thought, because I've never heard that voice that John heard. One day we will. It'll be shocking. It'll be loud. It'll be powerful. We're going to hear it. You're going to hear the voice. But right now, here's what I hear, and here's what you hear. We hear what the Bible describes as the still, small voice of God. One translation, the Septuagint, says, it's like a whisper. That's the voice I hear. And when I get quiet, when you get into that frequency, and by the way, I encourage you, we live in a very noisy world and a very scattered world and a very, you know, we have too much information. We know too many things. I'm a news hound. I like to know, but man, it just seems like, you know, a lot of painful things. Too much knowledge. With much knowledge, the Bible says, comes much sorrow. What do you do with it all? It's over. I can't handle it. I need quiet. And it is only in the quiet, when you turn off the radio and turn off the TV, and you have a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible and you read and you have your readings and the scriptures and the devotion, but then you get quiet and wait upon God. Oh, that's when the voice, still small voice, it's like a whisper. It's like a gentle breeze, very still. It's easy to drown out that voice with all your busyness and activities. You have to get very still and very quiet, but you will hear it if you have the Holy Spirit inside. And he loves, oh, he blesses me. And he says, I love you, Ray. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Son, I gave my son for you. There is nothing that I wouldn't do for you. I am for you. All things, even that you are facing today, I am forcing by my power and by my sovereignty, I will make them work together for your good as you love me and trust in me and follow me. You're highly favored. You're extremely blessed. And honestly, when I let God's love into the depth that he wants it to be, I feel like, just let you in on a secret, I feel like I'm his favorite. And I go, oh, I feel sorry for all the other people. Lord, you just love me so much. And then one day the Lord said, let me let you in on a little secret. I treat all my kids that way. You are my favorite between you and me. And so is this one. And so is that one. If you could dare to believe and allow, God will begin treating you as if you were his very favorite. You walk out in the morning, you look at the sunrise. Wow, Lord, you did it again. He goes, just for you. Because you saw it, you observed it, you said thank you. And that still small voice begins feeding you. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what's happening. I can't, there's the thing that's frustrating, there's too many things in the world that I have no say in. I can't control it. It's beyond my control. It's very frustrating. What's going to bring us peace? There's a lot of anxiety going on right now. Would you agree? And what brings peace is the still, small voice of the Lord and his love.
Pastor Ray Bentley, helping us consider the qualities of the voice of the Lord. Part of our studies in Revelation here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for His Eyes, Feet, and Voice. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for your gift of any amount. Just mention the title, His Eyes, Feet, and Voice. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we hear from people who listen to your studies each day, and they might be surprised at how much their letters, their emails, really encourage us.
Yes. You know, look, we put the radio on and we put it out, and it's free for everybody to enjoy, to listen to, hopefully to get blessed and encouraged. But it's not like when I am at my church and there's people that walk up and say, oh, I thank you for this or that point that you made, or God really touched me here, there. And I love seeing people, meeting people and whatever, but on the radio or online, it's invisible. I cannot tell you how powerful it is. Nobody writes letters anymore, but you know, the smallest thing, if you contact us, if you call us, if you email us, if you write us a letter, send just a little card. Hey, it would be it means a lot to me. I see them. I read them. Dave, we try to pass that on to our people here and to the staff and the people that behind the scenes. It's a lot of people that bring this all together. I can't tell you, it means a world of encouragement that we're doing something that's actually making a difference. It's small, maybe to you, but like in our church, when somebody comes up and they go, oh, hi, Pastor Ray, and then I go, well, how did you hear about Maranatha Chapel? Well, I started listening to you about 3 years ago on the radio, and finally, I realized I live in San Diego. I could actually go to your church. I go, wow, it's nice to meet you. That's kind of what it's like. Not everybody throughout the country can actually be here in person, but you can write a letter, you can send a note, write an email or whatever and communicate to us. It just is encouraging. It goes such a long way that it's making a difference in somebody's life somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So we hope you'll get in touch today. You can write Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com, or we'll give the mailing address in just a moment. Keep in mind, to those who can send a donation right now, we want to send a copy of Pastor Ray's new novel, On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by best-selling author Bodie Taney. It's a thrilling story that'll also uplift you in your faith. Send your donation today to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order online at raybentley.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.